What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the FFL podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Schmidt, and I am super excited to be coming out with another podcast. It has been quite a bit since I put out one. There has been a lot going on recently. I think right before I was going to produce another one, the Charlie Kirk assassination happened, and it just weighed on me, and I was struggling a lot with that. And I just know it was just a topic of conversation everywhere I went, and I decided just to take a break for a little bit, and it went on a little bit longer than I would like to, but I'm excited to say that now I'm back, and I'm gonna hopefully continue doing this more consistently. I am super excited about today's podcast. It is a big one. It's something that I've struggled with for quite a long time. It has affected my life greatly. But it's anxiety, if you don't already know what this is. So, but first off, I'm going to bless our time and allow the Lord to just fill this room and speak through me. So let's pray first. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for tonight. And Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity that I get to have to be able to speak your words through this podcast. And God, I just pray that as I share different experiences, as I share your word, that you are the one that's shining through me and not me shining through myself. God, I just pray that you can give me the right words to say, and that I just pray that anyone that is listening to this or watching this, I pray that they are encouraged through what they're hearing and that they can resonate with whatever words that I'm sharing and that they are able to turn their eyes and be fixated on you. So God, just thank you again for this opportunity. I invite you into this room. I invite you into your presence here as I speak. And just again, just let me help me to be able to speak confidently. And I pray all these things in your name. Amen. All right. First things I wanted to share is that I just wanted to remind people, whoever is listening, whoever is watching, that I am not perfect. All right. I am not going to be this perfect speaker or podcaster or whatever the case is as I'm doing these different podcasts. I don't want to be put on this pedestal because God is the one that's higher than me, that's higher than you, that's higher than all of us. I'm super encouraged that people are listening to this, and I pray that as people are listening through this, that you guys are being able to hear God speaking through this and not me. I pray that you are also seeking out God's word and not just relying on this podcast or other podcasters to get your time with the Lord. I encourage you that to seek time with the Lord, to seek time in God's scriptures, and just spend time with Him, because that's the best way that you are going to be able to grow your relationship with Him. So, with that being said, let's get started with this. I share a lot of some struggles that I had in my testimony time and also just in the experiences with God that I've had, but I'm going to embellish more on some of these stories, on some of these things that were happening in my life. And so I'm going to share off and first share that the first really time that I struggled with anxiety or when it came into my life was about middle school, high school, end of middle school, beginning of high school. During this time, I was really relying on friendships. I was really relying on the things that were happening in my life, sports, whatever the case is. I was relying on that more than I was relying on God. And around this time is also when I was, you know, I was seeking for something greater than myself, but I was seeking it in the wrong avenues. So again, I was seeking it through friendships, through people. I was trying to be cool. I was trying to be the popular kid, the funny kid, whatever the case is. I was trying to find a title that fit me. I just kept coming empty all the time. And so when the bulk of my anxiety came from were friendships. You know, I keep talking about friendships a lot, or just relationships that I had in my life. I relied on these friendships so much, in the sense that I relied on them on validation and affirmation of who I was as a person. You know, if I was a good person, if I looked good, if I played good, whatever the case was, I always sought out people's validation rather than God's. And that was already failure number one. And so that started to happen, and I started to allow that to just spiral in my life, and just I started to create insecurities in my life from this. Then I started to get anxious from this. I started to worry all the time. You know, if someone says something to me in a certain way, I'd overthink it, and I would just get so worrisome that I would start to affect that person as well rather than myself. So I started to ask questions. I started to doubt them as a person. I started to doubt our friendship all the time. And I needed validation from them. Hey, are we good? Like, this is a good friendship. Like, am I doing okay? Are you mad at me? It's just all the time. And it was so overwhelming for these people. me stepping into their shoes now, I realized and I recognized how crippling this was to them, how ridiculous it was that somebody constantly needed assurance in their friendship and in who they were as a person. And if I and I understand why these people were just not really wanting to talk to me anymore or walking out of my life. I understand it, but I didn't get it at that point. I didn't understand what anxiety was, first off. I didn't understand what I was doing to them to cause so much stress for them. I didn't understand any of it. People would just up and leave my life, and I had no idea why. So that was something that I struggled with. So that was an up and down all throughout high school. There'd be moments where the Lord would be reaching out and extending his hand out to me, and I'd try to reach for it, and I'd feel this hope, and then all of a sudden I just put my hand back in the water. And I would drown myself because I was like, oh, actually, you know what? Now that I'm actually coming to the surface, I'm going to pull away and actually get to the surface myself. But I'm realizing that there's stuff weighing me down and I can't save myself. And so I need the Lord to continue to save me. So I would just give up. And then I'd fall back down. And then I try to reach back up again and reach for the Lord. And then I fall back down. So it was just this constant roller coaster up and down and up and down. And it was ridiculous. It was a lot. And so when it really started to get worrisome or just more, just I started to struggle with this even more, was right before I left for college. I went and saw a counselor, a Christian counselor, and we just had conversations about what were going on in my life, and I asked him to diagnose me, I guess you could say. And so he had me fill out this checklist. I forget what it was. It was questions like, how often do you feel depressed? How often do you feel sad? How often are you anxious? How often do, whatever the case was. And so you had to circle a certain amount of numbers. And then after he looked through it all, he would tell you what your diagnosis was. And so I gave that to him. We had conversations. I came back to him and he said, yep, you actually have severe anxiety. I was like, what? Like, I'm about to go to college and you're telling me that I have severe anxiety. Like, I feel like that's the worst thing that you can do. Like, giving sugar to this, or that's a weird thing, but giving sugar to this addict that is like about to go off on this adventure and like whatever the case is, you know, it just was not the right thing. That was a terrible analogy. But the point that I'm trying to make is that I'm about to go to embark on this new journey and this new adventure, we'll call it adventure. And I'm told that I have severe anxiety. Like, that was just really not fun for me to hear. I never saw this guy again. I never went back to him. I mean, I left for college right after that. So that was pretty bad. So I went to college, and again, I'm continuing this up and down and up and down, just roller coaster of emotions, of anxiety, of worry, worrying about friendships, making new friendships, anxiety about I'm away from home and I'm not near my friends and I'm not comfortable again. So I just kind of clammed up and I just shut off from people and I just stuck with what I was comfortable with. And it was just not a good life for me. And I get to these points where I would have severe anxiety attacks. And if you've ever had an anxiety attack, you understand what I'm about to share with you. You understand what the feelings are I'm about to share with you. And for me, anxiety was just this, when I got these attacks, I called them mental blackouts, where I felt like I was just disassociating from reality. That's a good word, disassociating from reality. And I got like tingly in my chest and my hands. It went down to my toes. It went down to my head. And my muscles would just constrict and just get really tense. Sometimes I've just forgot what happened in that like 30 minutes or wherever, however long the anxiety attack was. Until I was able to calm myself down. I was able to bring myself down to reality, look at my surroundings, being able to smell the area, just whatever the case was, I was able to bring myself back down to reality. And then I was able to snap out of it and realize I'm okay. And it took me a long time to understand and figure out how to be able to calm myself down from anxiety attacks. And the frustrating thing was that the Lord just kept showing me how to trust in him. I was having a conversation with a friend one time, and they shared with me this quote, and it just has stuck with me since, and I share with everybody. But anxiety is truly just a lack of trust in the Lord, a lack of trust in what the Lord is going to do for you. The lack of trust in how the Lord is going to show up for you. Just here's a big moment that you're going to go through, but God has brought you through it many, many times before, or brought you through other things many, many times before. And just how do I have the audacity to question God and say, how are you going to bring me through this? I know you brought me through this every single time I've gone through something, but I doubt that you're going to bring, like, how? That's just so frustrating. And the only way that I can somehow relate to that feeling that God just gets when we doubt him like that, is, you know, I'm a teacher now, and so I can, the only way I can relate to this is when, as a teacher, if I see a student struggling, or if I see a student doing an assignment or just studying for a test, and they're just missing this key component to complete that test or to complete this assignment, and I'm not trying to give them the answer, but I'm trying to help them, guide them, because that's what we're supposed to do as teachers, right? We're supposed to help guide them and help them succeed, right? So I'm trying to give this to them, and they're just like dancing all around it, and they're like, nope, actually I know my way better than you do. But I'm like, I'm the teacher. I'm like, I know what I'm doing. Like, that's the only way that I can be able to relate it to God, when God's saying, looking at us, and he sees us walking away from him, and then we're struggling, and then he's like, here, take this. And we're like, nope, thanks. I'm going to go this way. I feel more comfortable this way. Because the thing is, like, the more you think about it, like, the more you walk away from the Lord, the darker your life gets. And what happens when you're in the dark? You can't see anything. And how am I supposed to be calm when I can't see anything? Like, that's literally anxiety right there. I'm so far away from God, I can't see what he's doing. I can't see how he's moving in my life. I can't see him doing anything. And now I'm just struggling. I'm panicking. What do I do? And God's saying, just follow my voice. Come back to me. Seek me. Look, just spend time with me, and you'll be able to see me. You'll be able to see what I'm doing in your life. You may not see it now sometimes, but you'll see what I'm doing in the future, and it all makes sense. But in those moments when I'm just stuck in the rut, and I'm just in the darkness, of course I'm going to panic. Of course I'm going to have anxiety because I can't see anything. I need to go back to the Lord. And so that was something that I didn't really truly get until about my junior year of college. I was heading into my senior year of college. This was a big, big summer for me. I was with somebody at the time, and I had the opportunity to move to Florida. And I shared with this in my one podcast, but I'm going to share this again because it was just a revelation of just change for me, of just being able to release things that I've been holding on to for so long. So I got presented with this opportunity to move down to Florida, and immediately I said, no, I'm not doing that. I don't want to move to Florida. Are you kidding me? Like, that's crazy. I'm moving hundreds of miles away from my family, from my friends, from literally everybody except the person that I'm going down there with. I don't know anybody down there. Like, that's literally going to cause so much anxiety in me. And so I said, no, I was like, absolutely not. I decided to, we were having this conversation, me and the person that I was with at this time, we were having this conversation about it, and she was definitely going. She wanted to do this. She loves that area. She loves Florida, but I just couldn't do it. So we're driving home and to my house. And after I get home, I decided, you know what, Lord, I'm just going to give it to you. And so we prayed about it. We talked about it. And then within an hour and a half, my heart completely changed. And I was like, whoa. And then the Lord like changed my heart and said, you are going to Florida. And this is how you're going to spend your summer. You're going to go down in Florida and you're going to spend the summer serving me. I said, okay. So I was completely fine with it. And so I knew that there were certain things that need to happen in order for me to go down to Florida. But I was like, you know what? These are really big asks. And I need to just surrender this to you, Lord. And if it's meant to be, you will provide the way for me. And so I surrendered to him. I said, all right, Lord, here's what I need. I need a way down. That's the first thing. Next thing, I need to be able to get my parents on board with this. I value their opinion. I value what they say. I need to get them on board. Then I need to figure out where I'm going to live. So that was a big thing. And then I need to figure out a way to make a certain amount of money, because I was heading to my student teaching semester. I was not able to get a job during that time. I needed to have a certain amount of money to be able to survive that semester. I said, so here you go, Lord. These are the different things I need from you. I said, it's yours, and we'll go. So one by one, God just kept checking those boxes off for me. The first one, I decided to have a conversation with my parents, and I thought they were going to be like, no, are you kidding me? Like, why would you ever do that? This conversation was like, this is what changed the course for me. I talked to my parents about it. My dad was sitting there, and it was. I told him, I said, hey, I want to go to Florida. I want to serve in the youth group. And my dad said, he stopped for a second, and he said, I remember this like it was yesterday. But he said, honestly, Andrew, out of all the things that you have brought up to me before in the past, I feel the most peace about this. I was like, excuse me, what? Like, are you my dad? Like, what? And I was like, okay, that was number one. Then I'm having a meeting with the boss down there that I had. I said, I need to be able to do this and be able to make this because I have a student teaching semester coming up. This is what I need to make. All right, Andrew, let me see what I can do. Comes back to me and he says, all right, we're prepared to offer you this. and literally is the exact amount that I needed to be able to live. Like, that's just crazy, mind blowing. So that was another item checked off. And then another one was a way to get down there. You know, I was like, all right, let me budget out. We're going to have to drive down, so I'm going to have to save up a certain amount or whatever, whatever. Then my parents came to me and they said, you know what? We're going to buy your ticket to go down. I was like, what? So they literally bought an Amtrak train ticket for me to put my car on the train and then just go down. So that was another thing. Like, that's just amazing. And then, of course, when I get down there, I didn't have a place to live at the time. And then after talking with my boss, this wonderful couple ended up opening up their home to me, and I was able to live with them. And it was just truly amazing. So that was just the start of just God just showing up for me when I didn't deserve it. But yet he still wanted me to, because he knew that that was going to be a summer of change for me. So I moved down there, and let me tell you, that was a summer of change. And that was a summer of just truly trusting and relying on the Lord. Absolutely amazing. And so we're going throughout the summer, and there were some things that needed to happen in order for me to student teach. And one of those things was being able to take some classes so that I can maintain a certain GPA in order to student teach. So I took these two Bible classes while I'm serving in the student ministry, take these two classes, and I end up acing them. They're almost 100% in both of them. So I was like, okay, I got the GPA that I needed. Turns out I was like 0.05 away from getting the GPA that I needed. So I emailed my professors, I emailed people, and I said, listen, this is what I got. I know we talked about this, but then they said, Andrew, as we said in our meetings before you left, you have to maintain this GPA, otherwise you can't student teach. So the thought was, I'm not gonna be able to student teach. Like, I'm not gonna be able to do anything. Like, this is it. I'm gonna have to extend my graduation. I don't wanna do that. But then I was away at a student camp. I was at a youth camp with the youth group at the church I was serving at. It was all the way in North Carolina. And we had time where we were able to just go away and just be by ourselves. And so I was like, you know what? I just need to go and just spend time with the Lord right now. So I did. So I walked away, and I secluded myself, and I just was praying to the Lord. And then all of a sudden, I just like had this weird just inclination to just write down a note, write down something in my notes, and I actually have it with me. And I treated this note as if it was a letter from God. So I'm going to read it now. But what I wrote down in this, and I had no idea what I was going to say, it's just whatever came out was whatever came out. Okay, here we go. It says, Andrew, trust me in all that I do. I am taking care of you each step of the way, so you do not have to worry. I love you so much, and you are my perfect creation. I know that you have sinned and turned against me, but I still love you anyways. The plans I have for you will be to prosper and further you into a plan that is suited just for you. I am shaping and molding you right now, but I am right here through it all. I know it looks not promising right now, but I will take care of you. Cast your worries and fears onto me, and just live your life for me, and honor me in all that you do, and I will bless you. Just keep walking the way you are walking. Read the word I have provided for you. Walk in the light right next to me. I am your Father, and I will not leave or forsake you. I can see the efforts that you are putting in, and it is not going unnoticed, but keep going. I will give you the strength that you need to keep fighting. Just keep in conversation with me, and let me be the support that you need in each aspect of your life. I love you so, so much, Andrew, my child. Love, God. I could not believe the words that came from me, but from the Lord. I felt like that in that moment, that was from the Lord that I wrote down. And I just kept rereading that. And I just felt this, I just kept feeling this sense of peace, like everything was going to be okay. I can't explain what it is, but if you understand what I mean, when you were spending time with the Lord and that you just get this peace that's unexplained, you understand what I mean. So I wrote that down and I just kind of sat back. The next thing I know, I get an email, like literally right after I wrote that, I get an email from my professors reading it. I'm like, oh gosh, here we go. I'm reading it, and it said, hey, Andrew, we just, you know, they were just talking about the fact that we had email the previous couple of days before. And they were saying, Andrew, we know that we had talked about this, and we know that we shared with you, you need to maintain a GPA as per our discussion before you left for Florida, whatever. But we have seen the work that you have done, and we believe in you as a teacher, and we believe that you are going to do well and going to succeed based off of what we've been seeing from you. So because of that, we are going to allow you to move on to student teaching. What? I was, I was, I literally threw, not through, maybe not through, but I put down my Bible, I put down that, my phone, and I just walked outside and I just sobbed. I was crying like I've never cried before. And I just was looking up to the skies and I just kept saying, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And in that moment, I had no idea how to explain it, but it literally felt like all of the anxiety that I, the severe anxiety that I had been dealing with, just like left my body. Like I just felt this peace wash my body, and then the anxiety that I had been struggling with just left my body. I don't know how to explain it. And I know that that is true, and I know that that was what happened, because when I came back from Florida, when I came back, I did not care what people thought of me. I did not care, like, I didn't have that much anxiety about what people said about me or thought about me or whatever the case was. I didn't want people to be the validation for me. I wanted God to be my validation. I wanted God to be the support that I have now. So I know that that's what happened, because I can't remember the last time that I had an anxiety attack. I think the last anxiety attack that I had was in my freshman, sophomore year of college. So like God does such wondrous works in you. It's just, you just need to trust in Him and you need to rely on Him. And like, yes, of course, I'm a man. I'm a God. I'm a person. I'm a human being. I'm going to fail. I'm going to sin. I'm going to mess up. Like that is going to happen. All right. But what happens afterwards is what determines my faith in the Lord. And it's just like there's a story that I wanted to read to you in Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. This is right after Jesus fed the 5,000. So this is when Jesus is walking on the sea. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out for fear. Like, I don't know, that's just kind of like, it's kind of funny to me, honestly. They're stuck in this turmoil. And because they're stuck in this turmoil, they're seeing things, or they're just, their fears are so heightened because their present trouble is taking their thoughts and taking their perception away and off of Christ. And so all these, they're just being super dramatic about this. Let's continue. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Which is also like, again, you know, who are we to question, who are we to command and tell God to do something? You know, God in and out of himself, like he will do whatever he wants. But in this moment, he's trying to teach us something, right? And Peter answered him and said, wait. He said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." So initially we have this, the Lord is doing a wondrous work in us. And like Peter, we walk out into this water and we're amazed by the miracle of it. But then we're like, there's no way this is true. Like this has to be a coincidence, or there has to be something that's causing this to happen. And then we start to doubt, and then we start to sink, and then we start to take our eyes off of Christ. Like I'm looking at Christ right now, and then I take my eyes off him, and I'm looking at the things around me, and I'm realizing these things are like, I'm struggling. Like, what do I do? What do I do? I can't see anymore. And Jesus is like, "Bro, like look up at me. I'm literally right in front of you." And we're like, "Whoa, you're right." Anyway, so we keep moving on. We say, in verse 30, "But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased." The wind ceased. "Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" It's amazing that we have to see a miracle, or we have to continue to see all these things happen for us to proclaim that the Lord is the Son of God. And it's just, it's amazing to see him, but it's also, it makes me wonder, like, man, like we, are we do we really have good faith? Like, do we really have faith that Jesus is the Son of God? Or do we constantly need to see miracles happen? Or do we constantly need to see all these different things happen? And then we're like, oh, yep, okay, I do believe God's real. And then we don't see anything happen. And we're like, oh, I'm starting to doubt him. And then Jesus is like, I just proved a miracle. I just showed you something. I just gave you something that you needed. And yet you're still questioning me? Like, it goes back to the frustrating thing of just, the Lord is just constantly there for us, and he's constantly showing us the way, and he's constantly just helping us and serving us and just loving us and showing us grace and mercy, just things that we don't deserve, and yet we still are questioning him and doubting him, which I understand is, you know, the devil just playing into our minds and just the world and worldly things that are happening, and it can be so easy to take our eyes off of the cross and take a look at the surface level things. And the longer that we keep looking at the surface level things, the longer that they start to envelop and they start to take over our minds. And then we get so engrossed in this that we can't even see God anymore. And so we need to be able to break through it and just trust in God and keep our eyes fixated up the whole time. So that's kind of like my experience with anxiety. And I felt like I was Peter in that moment where something happened. And I see something in the distance, and I start fearing, I start crying out, I'm afraid, I'm worried, but then it's Jesus, and Jesus shows me the way, and then I'm stepping out into the water, and then I see God, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I finally understand what I'm supposed to do, and then I start to doubt, and then I'm sinking, and then Jesus is reaching out for me, and he's saying, I'm right here, like, oh, ye of little faith, like, I'm right here, just grab my hand, take a hold of me, and believe in me, don't doubt me, and so that was my experience with anxiety, and that was my experience of just being able to allow God to wash over my body, allow his peace to wash over my body. And now I can say that my anxiety, my severe crippling anxiety, has been taken by the Lord. Yes, I'm still a man. Yes, I still struggle with different things. I have my moments here and there with if I get with some depression, maybe sadness, or maybe the case, whatever the case is, but the Lord is capable of delivering me from this prison that I put myself in, from these shackles that I put myself in. That's the thing, you know, the Lord, when Jesus died on the cross for us, he gave us the way out. We were stuck in this prison with shackles on, and Jesus broke us out of those shackles, and now we're free, and we're free from all of this. But we decide to put ourselves back into these shackles, and we put these shackles back on our wrists, and we say, Lord, save us, Lord, save us. And the Lord just looks at us, and he said, I did save you. Like, I died on the cross for you. You are saved. You are loved. Come, follow me. Choose me. Take your cross up and follow me. It's not going to be easy, but come follow me, because it's a lot better than living in this life. That's for sure. It's a lot better than putting yourself in the prison that you are in right now. That's for sure. And so being able to say, yes, Lord, I give you my life. I surrender my life to you. Being able to rely on him. Like that, it's not like we have to do all of these crazy works in order to get these things from the Lord. Like, it is a thing that we accept freely. And because we accept this salvation, because we recognize that the Lord has saved us from such a terrible place, we want to do things for him. You know, if you had a friend, let's say something terrible. Okay, you get put into, you get a DUI or something, right? You get a DUI, you're driving under the influence, and you're now in court. And the judge is saying, all right, like, because you get a DUI, you have to pay $100,000 in fines, and you have to serve 3 years in prison. No, let's say 10 years in prison, right? All of these things. This is what is owed to us. Then somebody comes in and says, you know what? I'll pay his fines. I'll pay the $100,000, and you know what? I'll serve the 10 years. Just let him go, and I'll serve this all. What would you do? What would you do if somebody like that came to you? You would tell every single person in your life what that person did. I mean, maybe you'll be ashamed of the sin, but you would tell everybody, this person came in and rescued me from all of this. He rescued me from all these fines, and he rescued me from 10 years in prison. That is what Jesus did for us. We were condemned to hell. Like, we were going to hell. And then Jesus decided to come down, pay the ultimate price, which is death, and give us this free gift. All you have to do is accept the gift, and as a byproduct of that, then you start to live your life for him. you start to share the gospel, you start to love others, you start to be kind to others. The more that you spend time with the Lord and you read scriptures, the more that your life turns into an example of Christ. Yes, you will sin. Yes, you will mess up. But you are still going to be sharing the gospel. You are still you will not want to be living in it. That's the difference. So that's what I wanted to share. That's on my heart. I know it was a little bit longer tonight, but I just felt that I just felt the need to be able to share all of that with you guys. So that's all I got for you guys. I appreciate your time listening to this. Thank you for listening to this. Thank you for taking the time to hear what I have to say, to hear what the Lord has to say through me. I continuously encourage you to seek out the scriptures, seek out time with the Lord. And that's all I got. Thank you very much. I hope you have a great rest of your night, day, morning, whenever you listen to this. And we'll see you next time. Have a great, great night, as I say. All right. See you.